verses 1 to 7. And if you're using the church Bible, that's on page 1140. Romans 13, beginning at verse 1. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authorities is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honour, then honour.
Thank you, Rachel. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you today. Keep that passage open. That's our text for this morning. Let us pray to God, ask him for his help as we dive in, think about these words together. Let me pray for us. We read in 2 Timothy 3, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Lord God, with your word open now, please speak to us. Please refine us. Please equip us for every good work you have called us to do. For the glory and honour of your Son, our Lord Jesus. Amen. When you talk about those in authority, whether that's our king or the prime minister, whether that's about the kind of a particular political party or simply your boss at work, I wonder how those conversations go. I wonder what they're like. Are they respectful? Are they honouring conversations? Or are they perhaps more of a kind of platform, perhaps for gossip or joking or moaning? Well, let me ask you this. For those in authority, do you spend more time praying for them or perhaps complaining about them? It's challenging. We live in a culture that is increasingly cynical about those in authority. And sometimes we find it really hard, don't we? I do. Find it really hard not to join our voices with others, especially when we can feel like we can justify our opinions or our concerns about those things. But as we sit under God's word this morning, we must recognize that the Bible has much to say about how we should view those in authority and how our lives should be in submission to those in authority. Now, if you've recently joined us on Sunday mornings, what we've been doing is working our way through the book of Romans. So a couple of years ago, we did Romans 1 to 11 and kind of considered just the awesomeness of the gospel, Christ Jesus our Lord, and the righteousness that alone comes through him. And a couple of weeks ago, we picked up again in chapter 12, and we've been working our way through. Now, I mention that because when the first two verses of Romans 12 are kind of a pivot, they're a hinge part of Romans, and they're really important. So we're going to turn back to Romans 12, 1 to 2, and look at those, whether for the first time or maybe some of you think, oh, they keep mentioning this every week, but it's because it's so vital for our understanding of what follows. So we can't escape this. It's good for us to learn these words. And this is what it says in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. See, Christians, in view of God's mercy towards us in Christ, the forgiveness Jesus has won at the cross for all those who would believe in him, we've been brought back into relationship with our Creator God. He's done it all. And in view of that, we're to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And as we've kind of worked our way through since those early weeks when we looked at those first two verses, we've seen, haven't we, that that means it impacts how we relate to others in the church, other Christians. We're not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. We're to serve others with the gifts God has given for the benefit of the whole. As we saw last week, with God's help, we're even to love our enemies, not getting revenge, but overcoming evil with good. And so God's mercy for believers impacts our desire to serve him in all of life and in how we treat other believers, our enemies. And now in Romans 13, we get to kind of a wider section, as it were, that God's mercy even impacts the way we are to relate to those in authority over us. Now, for followers of Jesus, we have dual citizenship. I don't know if you ever thought about this before. We have dual citizenship. We are those who have a citizenship in heaven. We belong to the world to come. Our Lord Jesus reigns on high above all. And we long for his return where he'll put all things right. And yet, in the present age, we, like everyone else in our world, are those who are citizens on earth. Now, for most of us, that would mean citizens of the UK, but it might be another nation. But we all belong somewhere, and we are to be wise in how we live under authority for the glory of Jesus. So in view of God's mercy, we don't want to be shaped by the world and its thinking. We want to be shaped by the Bible. We want to be those who offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, allowing that to shape even how we relate to those in authority over us. So as we turn to Romans 13, get it in front of you, before we talk about what it looks like to be submissive to those in authority, because that's really kind of the driving point of these verses, I think, I want us to see afresh from these verses this, that God has established all governing authorities. God has established all governing authorities. Now, hopefully that was clear as we read it, but just have a look. It comes up so many times. Look at verse 1. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. So verse 1, you get it twice. God has established all authorities. Have a look at verse 2. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against God, against what God has instituted. So God established, he's instituted it. Have a look at verse 4. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants. Have a look at verse 6. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants. I mean, again and again, just in seven verses, they're established by God, they are instituted, they are God's servants. It's pretty comprehensive, isn't it? It's fairly straightforward to see. God has established all governing authorities. Yeah, well, what I wanted to suggest, though, is that as we probe that, just consider the scale of what is being said there, because it's pretty wide scale. There's no authority that hasn't been established by God, whether that's an installation of a dictator or a tribal chief or an elected politician, all derive their authority from heaven. In the last week, if you've been following the elections that took place in Nigeria, God was not absent from that process, this election that will have a huge impact on Christians in that country. God's not kind of absent from the process that's happening in Scotland as Nicola Sturgeon's replacement is chosen. God is at work here. God has established all governing authorities. Now, it's worth being clear what that doesn't mean. That doesn't mean that all authorities always exercise their power in the right way, or that God always condones all behavior from those in authority. But it does mean that their power is given from above. And we can see that clearly in our text, can't we? It's a clear truth that's taught across the Bible. So in the Old Testament, here's just one example. We read in Daniel that the Lord changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. Now listen to these words of our Lord Jesus when he was on trial. Pilate speaks of his authority, and Jesus says, "You would have no power over me, Pilate, if it were not given to you from above." God has established all authorities. There's no authority that hasn't been established by God, whether good or bad, whether we like them or not. That's the Bible's teaching. And although governing authority is particularly in mind here, by extension, that's all authorities, isn't it? It could surely be applied to husbands in a marriage, parents in the home, teachers at the school, police officers on the beat, your boss at work. There's no authority that hasn't been established by God. So on the one hand, this is quite a simple statement. And yet on the other, it's a profound knowledge that should shape the way that we see the world and how we do life. That should cause us to kind of marvel afresh at God's sovereignty, that he has this control over all things. He's not absent. He's powerful. He's sovereign. God establishes all governing authorities. There's no authority that hasn't been established by God. But why is that the case? Ever thought that? Maybe it's an obvious answer, but what is God's purpose for governing authorities? Well, Romans 13 would put it like this: God has established all authorities for the common good. It's an expression of God's common grace to the world. You see, authority is a good thing, isn't it? In fact, I'd go as far as saying that in most cases, even bad authority or bad leadership is better than no authority. If you want a solid example of that, read the book of Judges. By the end of that book in the Old Testament, we read that Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit. There was no authority, no rules. Everyone just did what they thought was best. No judge, not even a bad one. And everyone kind of rules their many lives. And it's absolute chaos. It's misery for all the people. Those in position of authority are a gift for the benefit of all the people. God has established all authorities for the common good. And what I want to pull out from Romans 13 is kind of the two strands of that, which is they're there for the restraining of evil, but also for the promotion of good. So just let me read verse 2 to 4 again so we can see this. But just watch out for the restraining of evil and the promotion of good. Verse 2. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you'll be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. For rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoing. So what we've read here then is that God has delegated his authority so that those in position of power would restrain evil by punishing the wicked and promote good by rewarding the obedient. And this kind of wisdom of reward and punishment is true for all stages of life, isn't it? When I was a teacher, I worked across a number of primary schools, and they all had different behavior policies, different ways of kind of rewarding kids for doing the right thing and punishing or disciplining children that did the wrong thing. But what was the same in every school is that they had one. They had ways of dealing with it. Just imagine for a moment if in a school there's no consequence for a child who hits another child, or there's no reward for that child that shows kindness or does good towards another. Then how will they learn to do what is right? What's going to correct behavior or encourage good behavior? I don't know, the last time you got a parking ticket or speeding fine? Hands up? No, you don't have to. Oh, yeah, a couple. I've never had a speeding fine, although we could argue that's because I've not been caught. I've had a parking ticket, and it's horrible, isn't it? When you get there, you get back to the car, you're like, oh man, really? And you're checking the signs, and then you find out maybe you've done it wrong. But it's correcting, isn't it? It's rubbish, but it's good for us to have that, whether it's a parking ticket or a speeding fine or something else. In our society, it's right, isn't it, that the actions of a thief or an attacker are condemned and that they're appropriately sentenced. If you were here last week, as we considered the end of Romans 12, you will remember that one of the reasons for not taking revenge on someone else if they've been unkind to you was to leave room for God's wrath. So if you just look up, hopefully in your Bibles, to chapter 12, verse 19, do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. See, one of the functions of the governing authorities over us, established by God, is to direct his wrath at the wrongdoer. So look at chapter 13, verse 4. I won't read all of it again, but just go to the last sentence. Let's talk about governing authorities. They are God's servants, agents of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. You see, the government are an instrument of God's justice in the present age. They are there to underline the fact that we are accountable to God, both in this life and the life to come. It acts in one sense then as a foretaste of the wrath that naturally hangs over us and our world because of sin. And the very reason God's mercy to us in Christ is so precious and so transforming. So in society it is good to have authorities that make laws and whose job it is to enforce those rules. It is for our good. And on the flip side, it is right also that in society, kind of commendable behavior is promoted, it's praised, it's honored, particularly that behavior which benefits all the people. So think of like the New Year's honors list. Think of those that are rewarded with an MBE for their service to education or to the community or in other ways. See, God has established all authorities for the common good. Now, before we move on, just notice again that our passage refers to these authorities three times as God's servants. And it's worth pointing that out because it's interesting. That word servant is the same word used of pastors and deacons elsewhere in the New Testament. For those in authority, their authority is from God, and it's to be used to benefit the society as they minister, as it were, to us. And it struck me afresh, I'm not sure quite the etymology of the word prime minister, but it's interesting, isn't it, that our leader of the government is called the prime minister, the prime servant. And actually, his job, or her job when it's lady, is not primarily kind of servant of the people, it's actually servant of God, and for the benefit of all the people. You know, we should pray, shouldn't we, for Rishi Sunak? In this great task, what a task that is. Prime minister, prime servant of God for the benefit of all the people. Now, perhaps you too this morning have a position of authority within our country, within the community, whether that's working for the government or law enforcement or something else. Well, Romans 13 reveals that your authority comes from above. It comes from heaven. So use it well. You're accountable to God. You've been put in that position to serve for the common good. So will you? Will you keep doing that? God has established all governing authorities for the common good. Now, I mentioned at the start, but in response to this truth, the Bible calls us to be submissive to the authorities that God has established. So look at verse 1 with me. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities. Cast your eye down to verse 5. Therefore, after what we've seen, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. I think that means in the sense of you know that God has put them there. God is the ultimate authority. So to submit to the governing authorities is pleasing to God. It is something that verse 1 calls everyone to do. Not just the Christian, but I think it's particularly true for the Christian here, but it's for all people. Elsewhere in the New Testament, the Apostle Peter writes, "Submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human institution." So being a citizen of heaven should, if we're a Christian this morning, make us better citizens, not worse citizens of the UK. Not just because God wills it, but because we know that all authority comes ultimately from heaven. To submit to the authorities is to trust God's sovereignty over it all. So God has established all authorities for the common good, so we're called to submit to them. Now, naturally, when we hear that word submission, we don't like the idea, do we? We don't like the idea of relinquishing control or allowing others to set the lead. And as we talk about submitting to the governing authorities, I guess many might ask, well, what about bad authorities? What about bad leaders? What about bad laws? What do we do with that? What is a Christian supposed to do if that's the case? And I guess, firstly, our response should be one of gratitude that we live in a country where actually for many years it's been built on Christian values and on Christian laws. And we should give God great thanks for that, even if we live in a time where that's slowly being eroded. But what is a Christian supposed to do if it's not good, as it were? What about brothers and sisters around the world facing real persecution and oppression for being a Christian, where governments are, as it were, even writing laws almost just to condemn the Christian? And yes, what about in the UK if our Christian heritage slowly erodes, if the cultural trends are to continue? What should we do? Do you keep obeying laws even if they're contrary to what the scriptures teach? And at this point, you might like this, at this point, I'm just going to have a slight detour to answer that question. Because I didn't want to think about submission and then think about exceptions, because I thought then we might leave here going, oh, well, it doesn't really matter. So I thought, let's just try and deal with that question for a moment, and then we'll come back to thinking about what submission means. So it's worth saying that each circumstance where there are exceptions, as it were, needs wisdom. But there are a number of examples in the Bible where there are those who are even commended for standing up to authority, where that seems entirely appropriate. So, for example, in Exodus chapter 1, you might remember the story, the Hebrew midwives were ordered by Pharaoh to kill the baby boys. And we read this: the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them. So God dealt with the midwives well. So to avoid sin, these ladies courageously defied the command of the authorities to do what was right. Think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They refused to bow down to the king's image and were then thrown into the furnace. I think of Daniel, who was told, no, you can no longer pray to the God of heaven, you've got to pray to the king, and he refused. He was a bit more obvious. He went to his window. I mean, I'm sure everyone was looking. He went to his window, he prayed, he kept on going, and he was thrown into a lion's den. Perhaps the most obvious example, or the most recent kind of biblical example, would be in Acts, when you get the apostles. So Peter and the apostles are commanded by the authorities not to speak about Jesus. And they carry on. Of course they do. And this is their response. They say in Acts 5, we must obey God rather than men. That's their cry. So even though God has established all authority, it doesn't mean that we continue to obey all authority when their commands directly oppose the word of God. Now, as I say that, we've got to be careful. These are not blanket statements. Each situation would require great wisdom and cost. These are examples in the scripture that would be worth just chewing over, thinking through. The day might come in which we have the choice to make in this country. And let's pray that if it comes to it, we would be courageous if we need to be. But here's the key. That if that day came, that we wouldn't kind of stand up for self-promotion or just because, you know, we wanted to make a point. But actually making a stand because we deeply care about the honor of Jesus. You see, Jesus, the one who himself submitted to corrupt authorities in his day. Just think of that. Again, Jesus before Pilate, he says, look, you'd have no power over me unless it was given from above. And Jesus willingly submitted to the most harshest and abuse of power that led him to go to the cross, that all those who believe in him would be saved. See, Romans 13 isn't like a muzzle. That means Christians can't speak up when things are wrong. Many of the good laws of our country came when Christians stood up for things that they saw that were wrong. But at the same time, as far as possible, we are called to be submissive, to be respectful. So as it were, that's the end of the aside. Come chat to me more if you want to about those things. But weigh them. But it's worth noting in our passage, in Romans 13, Paul doesn't give any exceptions, does he, to submission. Which isn't, again, to say that there aren't any, but I think the reality is our hearts. My heart loves to find loopholes, doesn't yours? You want to find a way out of submission. It's in our DNA, particularly if we dislike or even distrust those in authority. If we don't like laws, then perhaps we just do our own thing. I think the most obvious example recently was in lockdown during the COVID, wasn't it? You get leaders who start disobeying their own rules, and then lots of us are like, well, if they're doing it, it doesn't matter if I disobey the laws either. You see? But the laws were good. The rules in place were good. But you go, oh, well, they're not doing it. Well, it doesn't matter if I don't do it. But God has established all governing authorities for the common good, and we're called to submit to them. What does this look like? Well, we get a couple of particular instructions in our passage. Let me read from verse 5 to the end, and we'll think about a few of those before we finish up. Verse 5, therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. In one sense, I couldn't do justice just to try and outlay all the ways that we should be submissive. It will take time for us individually to think through, well, what does this mean? What's this going to mean in my context? But here are some examples. And I think the key here is give to everyone what you owe them, whatever that is. Now, if you owe taxes, who here doesn't owe taxes? We all owe taxes, don't we? Then pay them. Pay them on time. Be diligent in returning your taxes. You know, Jesus himself said, didn't he, when he was questioned about paying tax to Caesar, said, give to Caesar what is Caesar and give to God what is God. But it shapes all of life. You know, when you're in the car, be respectful of the law. Fasten your seatbelt. Don't use your phone. Keep to the speed limit. These things honor the Lord, even when others don't see. Teenagers, others, when you get on public transport, pay for it. When you head to the cinema, when you go to a party, don't use fake ID. And perhaps where I've been most challenged here is when it comes to talking about leaders and politicians, those in authority, show respect for them. Even if you disagree about how they live or even what policies they push, we can still show respect. For those placed in authority, show honor. Pray for them. You see, when we moan about our leaders, it can often be out of arrogance that we know better. But even if it's not, it certainly reveals a lack of trust in God's sovereignty. So you think for a moment, this challenged me. Think of Paul as he writes this letter. Who's he writing to? So writing to the Romans. And those in authority in Paul's day were not Christian. They lived in kind of under the Roman and Jewish authorities. In fact, Paul was likely to have written these words around a similar time to Nero being installed. And for most of you, we'll know, you know, Nero massively persecuted Christians. You know, submission can be really costly. And we should be prepared for that cost. But also, again, as I said earlier, at this time, we should, as we reflect on our nation's history and the nation at the moment, we should be filled with gratitude that it is still soaked in Christian values. So for lots of you who persevered with February's Book of the Month and considered that book The Air We Breathe, you would have kind of fresh opportunities to see that. That all around us is kind of soaked around with Christian values. And we should praise God for that. God has established all authorities for the common good. And we're called to submit to them. As I said, this will take time once it's to process, think through what that will mean. Where we need to be rebuked, where we need to be shaped. And so just while as we finish up now, what I want you to do, and just before I pray, is let me encourage you just to take a moment to reflect on some of what we've seen from Romans 13. And maybe confess sin, maybe the ways that you haven't lived up to that. Or maybe to ask God for his help in living this way. And if nothing else, to praise God for his sovereignty, that he is really in control of over all authorities, and for his grace to this country. So why don't you take a minute to do that, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. We read in 1 Timothy chapter 2, I urge then first of all that petitions, prayers, intercession and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Saviour, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Our Father in heaven, we praise you for your sovereignty, that you have established all governing authorities for the common good, to restrain evil and to promote good. Lord, we praise you that we have enjoyed many of the blessings of democracy and laws founded on the Bible for a long time in this country. And this morning we want to pray for all those in authority, for King Charles, for our government, for other leaders in our community, that they might recognize that all authority comes from heaven and is given for the good of all people. Help them to govern with wisdom and integrity and with a right fear of you. And help us to be submissive, to be those who are prayerful rather than quick to grumble. Help us in these things. Help us not to conform to the pattern of this world, but to live godly and pleasing lives in your sight. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We're going to respond by singing God, the Uncreated One. And in that song, and comes this line, I just found it. I know I've lost it again. Where's it gone? Okay. Kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall. He is faithful through it all. Crown him king forever. Yes, we're submissive to the governing authorities because God's put them in place. But ultimately, we're submissive to the God of the universe who raises leaders and deposes them. So let's sing this song in response.